Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms. Hey everyone, it's Jen. Welcome to Fat Mascara. It's our Thursday interview episode. Jess will be joining me shortly because we have an amazing interview with Dr. Orit Markowitz. So she's a dermatologist, skin cancer specialist, and CEO and founder of OptiSkin. She served as the director of pigmented lesions and skin cancer at Mount Sinai and Brooklyn Veterans Hospital and Downstate University Medical Center. She's also been an associate professor of dermatology. But the reason we wanted to have her on the podcast is because if you happen to keep up to date on research in dermatology journals, you know, like I do, you would notice that her name is on so many papers and studies looking into new non-invasive ways to detect and treat skin cancers. So she's going to teach us about the cutting-edge techniques that are now available, many of which she helped to pioneer and pioneered herself. Listen, if you want a primer on skin cancer prevention, how to use sunscreen, I'd suggest you check out episode 169 with dermatologist Deborah Sarnoff. That's sort of a primer. This podcast has some basics, but really we're going to update you on the very latest in skin cancer treatment. So it's a must listen if you have, if you've been recently diagnosed with a cancer, you're at risk or know someone who is, maybe one of your parents has some lesions or has had skin cancer and is worried about getting treatment, or even if you have moles or marks on your skin that you need to get checked out but just haven't yet. As Dr. Markowitz explains, you might not even need to go into a dermatologist's office to get help. Much of what she does can begin with virtual visits and will even tell you how to go about setting one of those up. So we'll share the links and resources that we sort of mentioned in the podcast and all the contact information on our blog. And if you haven't visited our blog, it is fatmascara.com/blog. And here's the interview with Dr. Markowitz. Okay, so Dr. Markowitz, we already filled in our listeners on who you are. You're obviously a dermatologist, but you have a really specific area of study and education and practice with treating skin cancer. How did you get into that and focus yourself there?
I love that question. How do you get into something that you're passionate about? I think a lot of people assume that you get into it because of something that you've had, a personal experience of some kind. I have not had a personal experience, so that's not how I really got into it. More so it was happenstance to some degree, and then just a need to innovate. That's innate in my personality. And then what seemed to feel like one of the more important areas within dermatology to innovate in. And so the happenstance was, I wanted to do an away rotation. I ended up with, at the time, a mentor of skin cancer down in Miami. And then I just felt like I could really move forward in the skin cancer space, and that there was so much room for growth and innovation. And we were just on the cusp with a lot of technologies that were just starting to kind of move forward outside the country, and the rest is, you know, 15 years later of a lot of passion and innovation within the skin cancer space.
And we'll get into some of those innovations once we like lay down a framework for our listeners. Because we start like at a sort of simple place here. What is skin cancer? Like, what's happening deep down in your cells when you get cancer of the skin?
Right. So cancer in general is an overgrowth of cells that then end up kind of taking over locally the space that they're in, but also that they start to want to jump and move and grow and take over systemically. So with throughout the body or different parts of the body. So when you think of skin as an organ, it's the largest organ on the body. And then you have cancer, right, or growth of cells. So skin cancer basically ends up being then the most common, not always the most aggressive, unless we're talking about melanoma, because melanoma starts with melanocytes in the skin, and they have all these kind of wires and very similar to when we think of neurons. And so the melanoma can kind of spread rather rapidly. And is the more aggressive type of skin cancer, but also the less common. It's about 2% of all skin cancers. And then basal cell and squamous cells, the 98%, are the most common kind of cancer, period, right? Because it's covered. We're the biggest organ, the skin. And basal and squamous tend to occur mostly in head and neck areas, right? Because that's where we're getting a lot of our sun exposure.
So how can you actually prevent skin cancer? We know about sunscreen. If you're listening to this show, we know that sunscreen is really important. But I'd like to hear about some like other ways people could prevent it. Like, are there supplements you can take? I don't know if that sounds crazy. Are there any lifestyle practices you can take besides like staying indoors forever and ever? Like, how can we actually prevent? I feel like the pandemic, I feel like just I'm sitting inside a lot. I'm like, maybe this was good for me. I don't know. But, you know, how from your perspective can we help prevent skin cancer besides SPF?
Yeah. I mean, you know, bottom line is, many cancers, we don't know how to prevent them. Mm. It's very hard to say, how do you prevent liver cancer, for example? Well, I mean, there are ways to prevent it. With skin, it's pretty straightforward. The less UV exposure, the more likely you are to prevent that cancer. So whether that be sitting indoors, but you can still get UV exposure through windows. Do you have double paned windows? Are you facing the light? You can get UV exposure, let's say, on the sidecar windows, but the windshield, you have a good amount of protection, sun protective clothing, wearing hats. Obviously, you mentioned sunscreen, but then thinking about different kinds of sunscreen. Are you using a mineral sunscreen? Are you using a chemical? How often are you reapplying? But then, you know, you have also melanoma, right, which is the deadliest of all skin cancers. And sometimes that's genetic and you can't prevent it. And so with melanoma, there's definitely the melanomas that are directly sun related, but we see melanoma in locations that have never seen the light of day, like the bottom of a foot, or in the nails, or in the genitals, or in the eyes. So it's not, and even in the mouth. Mm-hmm. And all areas that I look at during a skin exam, right? Because that's important. We have to look at everything. Yeah. But we can't always prevent that. And so part of prevention is making sure that you go in and you get annual screenings, or if you have a history or you have lots of large atypical moles or a primary relative with melanoma history, you want to be seen even more frequently. And that's part of prevention. Mm-hmm. Now, you also mentioned supplements. Mm-hmm. So in terms of supplements, there are supplements that have had some link towards prevention. But I'm a little hesitant in recommending them because sometimes people think that that then takes over. And so you don't need to do all of the other things. And the supplements do not take over. They're just complementary. And you still have to do all of the regular, like you don't want to go with the peak of sunlight hours. You want to make sure you reapply.
But are they like extra credit? Can we know what they are just in case we're already doing all that other stuff?
Yeah, so there's definitely extra credit. So you have brands like HelioCare, but you also vitamin D, right? So this is a kind of an interesting, because we know that vitamin D, if you have a good level of it, you're much less likely to develop any type of cancer, including skin cancer. And then people assume, okay, well, then I'm going to go out in the sun and that's how I'm going to get my vitamin D. But the studies are showing that you're much better off getting vitamin D through diet. Even as recently, when they did the study in Italy showing that if you're D deficient, you're going to have much more COVID comorbidities, right? And the Nordic diet, they're not getting a lot of sun exposure. They had a lot less comorbidities, much better D levels than the Mediterranean Italians who are getting a ton of sun. So we know that sun is not consistent enough in getting our D where we want it to be. And of course, as a dermatologist that specializes in skin cancer, I'd much prefer my patients supplement than get the D from the sunlight.
Got it. Do you take a vitamin D supplement?
I do, because...
How much a day do you take?
So vitamin D, it depends on how much you need. But the nice thing is the range is so broad. You have like between 30 to 100. So you can overindulge in your D supplement. And many D supplements are very tasty.
That 30 like IUs?
Yes, 30 IUs to about 100 IUs. And you don't want to be at 30, and you certainly don't want to be below 30. I think it's good to get your vitamin D checked annually. Because if you have D deficiency, we know you can have hair loss. You're much higher risk for bone issues. You know, as we mentioned, all the different cancers. So it's important to know where your D is at, because sometimes you need to supplement D with prescription. Like you need like 50,000 units. But if your D is okay, it's good to take a daily supplement of D. I like it in the tasty kind of caramel chews or chocolates or gummy bears. I have a sweet tooth. If you had to pick between, you know, D2 and D3, there are a ton of studies now linked that D3 seems to be a better version of vitamin D.
Okay.
But definitely getting it checked annually or reminding your doctor that it's important to check it if they don't, to make sure you're in the range that you want to be in.
Okay. So thank you for the tips about the gummies and the caramels, because I actually have not been taking my vitamin D. It just feels like another pill to take. Sometimes they look like horse pills, but thank you for the reminder that they do come in all of these tasty little flavors. So another question I wanted to ask you is, what does mainstream media, I'll put Jen and I in that category. What do you think we get wrong about skin cancer prevention and treatment? And you know, I'm not picking just on like beauty media. I'm talking about the whole gamut, because I feel like it's kind of the same messages every summer. You know, you need, you know, this tablespoon, teaspoon, stay out between 10 and 2. It's kind of the same stuff over and over again. What do you feel like, I wish they talked about this or that? What are we doing wrong?
Right. So I don't like to think of it as you're doing something wrong. I just think that there's room for growth, right? There's room
okay,
for improvement.
Okay. That's nice.
So we'll, right? So
thank you.
Yes. So you're not getting it wrong. You're doing a great job. Okay. I think definitely people are much more aware of the need to protect themselves and the dangers and skin cancer. I think there's a ton out there, although, you know, it probably is hard to kind of push what I, when I Google and I see on the mass media, all the gory pictures with surgery for skin cancer. We certainly hear the stories of melanoma survivors. So this is all very important in the messaging. So people know you need to protect yourself. Skin cancer is important. It's common. But where we can also grow, I've spent the last 15 years innovating on managing skin cancer in a way that empowers my patients. So at least letting people know, and that's where I think we can grow, that there are a non-cutting, non-aggressive, non-gory way to manage their non-melanoma skin cancers, which is the most common and tends to occur on the head and neck. Mm-hmm. And this will then empower people to know, hey, we can diagnose without cutting. We can manage without cutting. I'm going to get sent home the same day, knowing what I have, it being removed, and no Band-Aid. And I think that that messaging then gives people perhaps, you know, the empowerment that, hey, it might be a good idea for me to go and get checked, because I don't have to worry that when I get in there, they're going to be chasing me with a scalpel, which for some people is obviously very scary.
Wait, are you saying some people, they see something wrong on their skin and they actually don't go to the doctor because they're nervous about like, well, they're going to have to cut it out. So let me just like put this off and not deal with it.
Not only that, but I get a lot of patients who have left skin cancers on their skin for a long period of time, until they finally discover, hey, there's another option here. So they've gone to the dermatologist, they've gotten the biopsy for, you know, and confirmed that they have a basal cell. And then they're told, okay, we're going to do this type of surgery. You're going to have, you know, this skin is going to be removed to replace this skin. Right. This is how wide. And then they start to get scared and they think, you know what, I'm just going to leave this. It's not likely to go ahead and metastasize, which basal cells aren't really likely to metastasize, but they do wreak havoc locally and they do tend to occur on areas of skin. So you don't want to get to a point where now underlying structures are collapsing, the basal cell is growing, and they get scared. So not knowing that there are other options that are less invasive, they actually sit with the tumor. And they try to find other ways to deal with it because they don't want to have a surgery that's going to alter the way their face or neck appears. So yes, I am saying they sit with it.
So the advice there being, if your doctor has told you this is the case and they're laying out a treatment plan and it seems scary to you, maybe get a second opinion because there have been advancements in the way you treat these non-melanoma skin cancers.
Yes. And also just okay. that the media perhaps can give them this information, right? You guys said, where can the media grow? I think that, I mean, obviously this is what I've spent 15 years really passionately pioneering and publishing on, but my publications are very familiar in the derm world, right? All the science journals, but I'd love for the media to bring that to the masses so that, yes.
So as a member of the media, is this like newer technology that you're talking about? Is this sort of, forgive me for like the kind of like layman's terms here. Is this like a luxury service though? Is this like, this is super cutting edge and only like a few people may be able to get this new technology where you don't cut into them?
So luxury in the sense that, yes, you're right. It's a... What I do is very specific.
I don't mean like, going to Bergdorf's and getting like a, you know, Like, no, I realize what you're doing is life-saving work. I don't mean, like, this is so frivolous. Well, and also, but, you know, is this, like, a really niche thing?
Right. So I don't want it to be niche. I'm definitely, you know, I've educated over, I would say, 200 residents.
Yeah.
I've had 4 imaging fellows for about 10 years now, all of which are now, some of which are graduating residents and dermatologists.
So they'll be taking these skills elsewhere?
So there will be more. I now work at a center. I basically created a center called OptiSkin, where I'm offering training for doctors from all over the world and all over the US. And I'm bringing the residents now from multiple programs to get trained, still have fellows. And there is definitely more of an interest. But in terms of the other end of that, like, is it only affordable to a select few? This is covered by insurance. So the majority of what I'm offering is not only covered by insurance, but for those that don't have insurance, it's a lot less expensive than surgery. So this is actually more affordable, not less affordable.
And if surgery is the one thing, what do you call what you do? Say I have this basal cell and my other doctor said I have to cut out this big strip of skin and replace it with this other. What is it that someone who has your skill set or has learned from you does to the skin?
So this is non-invasive, non-cutting, or, you know, the cutting edge.
How do you get it out?
The cutting edge without the cutting. So we, you know, from start to finish, let's say I'm doing a skin exam. Then I take my dermatoscope, which is kind of like the handheld microscope with polarized lighting, which, by the way, I think that that's another tool that if your dermatologist is not using, you might want to request that they use, because it's certainly helpful in looking at the skin.
Say the name of that tool again, just so everyone hears.
A dermatoscope.
Okay.
I think of it as like the stethoscope to a cardiologist.
Okay.
You have the dermatoscope to the dermatologist.
Okay.
And so you want your dermatologist to be using that tool to look up close at the skin. And then let's say I see something that's a basal cell on the patient, right, that I'm suspicious is a basal. They walk into a different room in my practice. Then I take out the reflectance confocal microscope, which is just a larger laser-looking device that then scans the skin and gives me a diagnosis. So now we have the diagnosis. And let's say, okay, it's a basal. Then we walk into a different room. And then I put another device called an optical coherence tomography device. And we look at the depth and we look at the extent of the tumor. And then we decide, okay, what's our next step? Which in my practice, I'm taking a combination of all the fun cosmetic lasers that I can use to treat rosacea and freckles and skin resurfacing and rejuvenation. And I'm using those same lasers to now treat the skin cancer. And then the patient goes home without a Band-Aid.
And you never even biopsied it, really. Did it all with cameras and the microscope.
I did an optical biopsy.
Optical biopsy.
Which
cool.
is covered by insurance, which is FDA approved. And which is a very accurate tool. So they did get a biopsy. The skin was looked at, but it wasn't cut. So they because we have to biopsy, we have to confirm, even though I will say with dermoscopy, it's still a pretty high sensitivity and specificity. Like when I'm certain it's a basal, the likelihood that that biopsy comes back as a basal is very high. But we're still going to biopsy it. We're just not going to cut it. They're going to get the information right then and there. So they don't have to go home and worry. But even if they've had a cutting biopsy, they can still get the optical coherence tomography scan to look at the depth and the extent. And we can still then utilize the lasers to treat it.
It's like a little x-ray machine, so you can see inside the skin without cutting it.
Exactly.
Cool. You're like Wonder Woman. You have like, you know, like x-ray vision with your stuff.
I mean, it feels awesome to be like Wonder Woman, right? Like, you know, skin cancer's worst enemy. so it's a lot of fun. But the patients are happy too. They're smiling because Mm-hmm. They're not feeling like, oh my God, how many layers is she going to remove? How
they're not invading.
And they're not in the dark. We're actually looking at it together. And I say, see how this is how deep it is. This is how far it goes. Here's an area where it skips. Here's what we're going to need to do to treat it. We can most likely get it with one treatment, or why don't we approach it, you know, in three treatments, and here's what the outcome's going to look like. So we're partners and they're calmer and we see where we're going to end up.
What percentage of practices do you think have those? Well, obviously everybody has a dermatoscope, but the other two tools that you mentioned.
So in Europe, many practices. In the U.S., probably a small percent, a smaller percentage than we would like. But I will say, now that we're getting reimbursement with the reflectance confocal microscope, and I've been an early adapter of all of these devices, like I've been using confocals since 2007, but now as of 2018, it's really, we're seeing more of an uptick, and I'm chairing the World Congress of confocal microscopy, and the fact that they even requested that it be in New York and that it be for the members of the US shows that there's now growth in the United States and there's more adaption. So the innovation is getting into the practices, probably not as much with the optical coherence tomography and some of these lasers, but it's definitely going to be a very obvious next step. So I think we are in the cusp, and I will be recording my video for the American Society of Laser meeting, which is going to be virtual this week, to talk about this. And so there's a lot of educating going on.
All right, it's not often that we talk about supplements, but when we do, you know that we mean it, all right? Every day I do my skincare routine, and that is a cleanse, I moisturize. Of course, I pop a little antioxidant in there, I'll do a little serum underneath there. But what is non-negotiable for me lately is I take a supplement. That is my Ritual Hyacera. It's a wrinkle support skin supplement, which is clinically proven to reduce wrinkles and improve skin smoothness. I'll take that.
I'll take it too. Ritual Hyacera is a once daily skin supplement. Jess said clinically proven. Let me give you the deets. In a clinical study, Hyacera led to a 3.6 time reduction in crow's feet wrinkles within 90 days as compared to placebo. Jess and I have been taking it more than 90 days. Let me tell you, it works. Plus, Ritual Hyacera has led to a 2.9 times increase in skin smoothness in the same amount of times. It's rigorously tested and validated by a third party for allergens, microbes, and heavy metals. You don't always know if a supplement does that. Ritual also has industry-leading sustainability standards. They use scientific tools to select lower carbon packaging, love that, prioritize sustainably sourced ingredients, and set ambitious climate goals. Plus, female-founded, B Corp, meaning they're holding themselves accountable to not just their company's financial health, but also the health of the people and our planet. You gotta love that.
Yes, okay. Start Hyacera to help minimize wrinkles without compromising on clean science. Hyacera from Ritual is a clinically proven skin supplement you can actually trust.
Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/mascara. Start Ritual or add Hyacera to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/mascara for 25% off. Okay, everyone, guess what I did last night? I slept in my Honeylove bra. I don't think I've ever slept in a bra before. Usually, I am so excited to take off my bra at the end of the day, there would be no chance I would lay down in it. But Honeylove bras are that comfortable. And if you're someone who does like to sleep in a bra for a little extra support, I feel like the Honeylove crossover bra should be your sleeping bra. Did I just coin a thing, sleeping bra? I don't know if they'll approve of that, but I love the idea. Obviously, you're gonna wear it out all the time too, because Honeylove's bras feature supportive bonding that eliminates the need for uncomfortable wires. Plus, they're made with a fabric that's so soft, it feels like a second skin. Is it spring cleaning time in your house? I know it is in mine. Clean out your bra drawer, get a few from Honeylove, They have the V-neck bra that's smooth and seamless and hardware-free. And then my personal favorite is the crossover bra with adjustable straps and a hook back closure. And of course, again, no underwire in that one either. The Honeylove supportive bonding lifts and supports without those uncomfortable wires. And while you're at it, why not pair your Honeylove bra with their matching shapewear or maybe a pair of their breathable, versatile leggings? Treat yourself to the best bras on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/mascara. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off. It's honeylove.com/mascara. And then after you purchase, they're going to ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we here at Fat Mascara sent you. Honeys, you deserve this. Again, that website is honeylove.com/mascara for 20% off. Okay, so there are some stories about my mom's life that I never get tired of hearing, and they're usually the ones in which she's trying to right some injustice and then ends up annoying the people in power, and I love that about her. Anyway, just in time for Mother's Day, I found the perfect gift that captures all her stories for my family forever. It's called Storyworth. Storyworth helps you preserve memories and stories for the mother figure in your life or any of your family or chosen family. Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick. The prompts are really good. The kind of things we ask guests here at Fat Mascara, little things like what's your favorite board game? And more important things like what's the best advice you've ever gotten? Storyworth makes the writing process a breeze. All your loved one needs to do is respond to the email with a story, long or short, doesn't matter. You'll be emailed a copy of what they wrote, but they'll also be collected. So you'll get to enjoy the retelling of the stories and probably learn some new things in the process. Then, after that year of fun, Storyworth automatically compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book. Even though I know some of my mom's best stories, I love that the weekly prompts are helping to uncover more details and that they'll be collected in one place for me to revisit and read through. Don't think I'm not going to pull this keepsake book out at our next family get together to share some of them. Listen, everyone loves Storyworth. It has more than 25,000 five-star reviews on Trustpilot, with millions of stories preserved since they were founded over 10 years ago. Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift that you'll cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/mascara. That's storyworth.com/mascara to save $10 on your first purchase. Speaking of education, can we talk about moles? Because I imagine if you now have all these fancy machines that you can see inside the skin, does that update the way people should be thinking about which moles look like the ones that should be assessed by a doctor? Because Jess and I have written for 20 years about like the ABCDs. Maybe there was like an F added. So can you take us through what to look at if you see a spot on your skin, what should bring you to the doctor? And is that whole asymmetry, whatever.
Yeah, let's
that
go through outdated? The ABCD thing.
Unless you don't like to use that way.
But let's say what it is, because I think a lot of folks don't even know what that is.
Oh, right. Sorry. Go ahead, doctor.
So I'm going to say what it is, and then I'm going to say, please ignore it. we've evolved. We've gone E for the ABCDEs. So A for asymmetry, B for border irregularity, C for color variation, D for diameter greater than six millimeters, and E for evolution. And we have evolution. We have evolved from the ABCDEs, because when I'm using my dermatoscope, and then especially if I'm even using additional tools, and oh, I didn't even mention the smart tape. That's a whole nother tool that we're also using pretty much every day. Because now we're talking about moles, we have so many options where we don't need the ownership to be on the patient, because if they're coming in with a mole that's already greater than 6 millimeters or that has irregularities and that they notice, then in my mind, well, that's a bit more advanced. And so we're trying to capture these misbehaving moles, which, what is a misbehaving mole? It's a potential melanoma. So we want to catch that melanoma before it's a melanoma or at the very earliest stage of that melanoma. And often that's not going to have any of the ABCDEs, but it will have a lot of irregularity, when we take a little smart tape and apply it to the skin, or when we look with a dermatoscope, or when I confocal it to diagnose it, all of these things are going to tell me that that mole doesn't belong well before my patient's going to notice it at home.
Yeah, but so here's the thing. I know people are sitting at home and they're like, listen, I'm not going in for a full skin check. I've had brown spots on my body my whole life. They look at them. They look very normal to them. If you have the kind of patient who is just like, I can't get myself to a derm every year for a full body check, even though you have skin tape and I know it's not going to be invasive, what should be the trigger to get them to the derm?
So,
sorry, you know that's how people are.
Yes. So one hope, of course, is when you create an environment that's soothing, and you create a situation that's empowering, and also they know they could get all these other wonderful benefits when they come in to see the dermatologist, and you know all those wonderful benefits, right? So you have all of these things enticing them to come in, then maybe they're less inclined to say, well, I don't want to come, I don't want to come. But in the springtime, you know, during the peak of the pandemic, they basically were saying, if you, you know, unless you have a known melanoma and it's greater than in situ, they were telling patients you can't even go in to see the dermatologist because we want all of our resources focused on saving lives. Totally understandable. Mm-hmm. So I got my patients all home scopes. We still had our virtual visits. I still evaluated their moles. I had even the tape can be sent to their homes. They were doing the smart tape and sending it to the lab.
How does the smart tape work?
So, great question. Smart tape is like a scotch tape, and you apply it to the skin. The skin is going to remain intact, but it takes like the little tiny specks on the top of the skin that contain RNA and DNA, so the genetic makeups of that particular mole. And then it gets sent in a FedEx package that they give to, that they send along with a little slip that you fill out. And we go through it together through the virtual visit and walk you through. You take a little pen and you circle the area right onto the tape. You send it to the lab assesses it. And if it says it's not a melanoma, it's basically close to 99% that it's not. Okay. If it says it is, then we can do short-term mole monitoring from home. It also was a reason to say to the patient, listen, now you really do need to come in, and they're motivated, and it was okay to do that based on all the restrictions during the peak of the pandemic. So all of these things, if you want to think of one silver lining, now you have for the cost of a copay. You can get a home scope, pop it on your iPhone. You've got an expert dermatologist at your fingertips, and you can get your care from home, period.
Because I was going to say, a lot of people, it's not that they don't want to go to the derm. They can't find childcare. There's no derm within a 50-mile radius of them. So you're saying they could go on a website, or like even for your practice, even if they're not in New York, I don't know how it works, like, and they could do this all virtually.
I have licenses now in multiple states because my patients were demanding that I see them. And other derms as well have incorporated pigmented experts, have incorporated in various states.
What should people Google? Like if I want to, like I'm at home, I'm like, okay, I want this. What do I Google? And we could put links on our blog too, but I'm just trying to make it really easy for our listeners.
Well, if you have, the first thing you do is if you have a relationship with your local dermatologist, find out if they have virtual options. And if they don't, certainly you can ask for a referral. You can also DM me, your derm's derm. And I'm happy if I can't do it, I can find you a person locally
as
well.
Wow, you just opened yourself up to that, but we like it.
Okay.
I love getting those messages. If it's saving a life, I don't mind. Not at all.
Oh, that's amazing.
Okay,
that's
amazing. All right. That mascara at your service.
It's like concierge dermatology. Here you go. Pause your podcast and go message Dr. Orit Markowitz.
Yeah. Okay. Can we talk about, this is so funny because this, I'm actually doing something right now with this. I'm like, I got to get back to this topic because this topic just won't die. The whole blue light thing. Okay. Ask a different dermatologist and you're just going to get a different answer, like, you know, every week. Let's talk about blue light damage. Can it really lead to skin cancer? Like, let's just get the last word on this. I feel like blue light is so trendy, but like, I just...
How bad is it?
Yeah. I just have this hard time believing that this is like really what's going to all like kill us in the end.
I don't think blue light's going to kill us. Although, you know, I'm not thrilled with the amount of time people are like staring at blue light all day long. I think mentally,
me neither.
It's not good for your health, not good for your eyes. It is not good for your skin. They've shown studies that you're getting the hyperpigmentation, right? So it's which is known as melasma. You're definitely getting some aging. It's not good for the sleep cycle. You're doing it at night when your skin's supposed to be repairing. So there's definitely, have they shown direct links to skin cancer? Not yet, no. But it's not great. It's not great. But the nice thing is you have options, right?
But can I ask you, I don't know, like I can't cite like, oh, this study from this year, blah, blah, blah. But like how much blue light were people really exposed to that they were getting like real melasma, real serious like aging? Like, do you think that it's been blown out of proportion?
I mean, it sounds like, you know, there's definitely some thoughts that it's been blown out of proportion, but I will say that I've had more consultations with people, especially now we're seeing a lot more people slowly venturing out. So it's not like it was earlier in the pandemic, but earlier in the pandemic, you were definitely seeing flare-ups of rosacea. Yes, you saw a lot of the mask knee and things like that. But rosacea also because of probably blue light or UV through the window. I saw flare-ups of melasma. The PubMed, if you do the search, the studies are out there. No, you're not going to see immediate signs of aging because that takes a lot of time.
Yeah.
And it's cumulative blue light exposure. But I understand the concern because, I mean, has anybody ever spent as much time in front of their blue light devices as they have this past year? So there is going to be a consequence for sure.
But I just have to wonder, and like, this sounds like I have like, it's like a leading question. It's more like, I'm just like genuinely wondering, like, is it like stress? Like, is it chronic?
Yeah, there's a multiple.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
it just feels
like, like the reason why like everyone's in front of their computer is because they're like working. You know what I mean?
But we haven't shown a link. I mean, there's a lot of skin diseases that definitely get exacerbated by stress. Yeah. I haven't really seen so much melasma or hyperpigmentation. Certainly aging because of the way you move your muscles and things like that.
Yeah.
But this is a different kind of aging, right? We're talking about the finer wrinkles. And so I don't know that you can necessarily say it's, I mean, certainly there's definitely been an increase in stress and we can go over those studies for this past year. That's a given.
Yeah.
But there's also been an increase in blue light. And there has been an increase in hyperpigmentation as a result. So it does exist. Is it as extreme as people are making it out to be? Probably not, because that's...
Not people, like beauty companies.
Yeah.
Like every other product that comes out is like, it shows you from blue light.
Yeah, like you can't release a product right now without being like, John was saying, like, it's... you know, got blue light protection, you know.
Because you don't need as, right? Because they know that you're, like a lot of people are sitting in front of their blue light device. Maybe they're not running around outside. So they want to, you know, they still want to provide them with protection.
But could I say something obvious here? Like, I put on sunscreen every day. If I put on sunscreen, I'm doing blue light protection, right?
You are, because your sunscreen probably has good mineral blockers like oxides. But if not, if you don't have like an iron or a zinc or a titanium oxide, then no, you might not be protected from blue light.
If your chemical sunscreen has multiple different sunscreen ingredients, so you're covering the range of the UV, because maybe you like a really sheer one, I don't know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Are you okay as long as you're getting that full spectrum? Is that what you're looking for? Or you really want us to use a mineral one?
Well, so the light minerals that have the nanoparticles that get absorbed, right? Like the clear UV and things like that. those still have the oxides, so we know they still protect from blue light. But the chemicals, the chemical sunscreens, they haven't been, as far as I know, unless there's a new article that came out that I haven't seen recently. But I was, because there's such an interest in blue light, I'm constantly PubMed-ing to see what's new that's come out. And I haven't seen any studies looking at chemical sunscreens protecting from blue light, but I have seen the oxides. So I know I'm safe when I'm recommending even a light mineral. It doesn't have to be the
same. Okay, so you're looking for zinc oxide or titanium dioxide to be your ingredients.
Or
if
iron.
You want.
Iron.
Okay. Oh, I've not seen iron. Oh, but that's like what's in makeups, right? Like that have like
a
shimmer
sometimes. Yeah, like the moisturizer with the iron oxide. So the study, actually, the biggest study was done with the iron oxide ingredient. But we know that they're going to have crossover with the titanium and the zinc, but they actually did it with the iron.
Okay. So if you see that on your sunscreen label, it's giving you it's giving you protection from UV that could lead to skin cancer, as well as blue light that can maybe, depending on if Jess Matlin or somebody else, give you all these other problems.
So yes. A light mineral to be
my
safe.
My cynic in chief over here.
Light mineral and you're probably okay.
No, you are okay.
You're okay.
Yeah. Good.
You're okay.
Done.
Okay.
Yeah, you are okay. Now, you probably might not be okay from your circadian rhythm, or you got to make sure your eyes are okay. Maybe you get that shield on your laptop, but you're
imagine all
from
this
a skin
gear.
Perspective, you're okay.
Maybe we just like turn off the phone.
What we have to do to protect ourselves from the modern world, like, is just like, it's wild. It's yes. It's coming in through the walls.
We didn't evolve to be sitting and doing this.
That's what I mean. It's like, do you have your blue light glasses? Do you have your sunscreen
face shield,
on?
Your pandemic mask.
Okay, we're ready for work, guys. We're good. It's like so crazy.
I need an astronaut suit to go out into the world.
I've got my 12 p.m. like dial a derm appointment. You know what I mean? It's just nuts. It's so nuts.
Right.
This is a wild,
seen, like, the
wild
space
world.
Helmets that they're putting on to walk outside with like the rebreathers and
I saw someone on the subway with one and I was like, I can't. I just,
This is a world I did not sign up for, but none of us did. Oh my God, we're going to hit you with the Fat Mascara 5.
Yeah, okay. And thank you, by the way, for sharing with us all of that information on the advancements. I hope some people out there are like less scared to be proactive in a way. So I think, there we go. We're changing the mainstream media with your help. But before we let you go, Jess is going to take you through this. This is like a speed round. This is fun.
This is fun. Okay.
This is to get to know
you. This is breezy.
This
is breezy.
This lady that you're about to DM and she's going to save your life. Now you're going to get to know her. All right, go for it.
Okay. What was the first beauty product you've ever fell in love with?
So the first beauty product I fell in love with back in the, I want to say early 80s, was Noxzema. I guess that was kind of the old school acne treatment, and it tingled and it had a fragrance, like pretty much all the no's of today in the beauty industry, but it was back then the hot product.
Can I ask you a derm question? Do you actually think Noxzema is like bad for you now?
I don't think it's necessarily bad for you, but I think that the beauty industry has evolved quite tremendously, that it would be, if you were asking that question today, I don't think you'd be getting as many Noxzema responses, but back then that was like, you had like a handful of options. So it was kind of,
it was very fresh. My grandmother used it.
I think it has menthol even.
It did have menthol.
Yeah, like, I mean, it has probably every irritant dermatitis component. like a lot of the old school creams with the lanolin, if you had the wool allergy. But you asked what I first fell in love with. Those were the options back then.
Yeah.
I could feel my pores like opening up.
Right. She put air quotes on that, guys.
Quotes. They're opening up.
She knows better.
They're opening up right now at grandma's.
No, they're constricting because it's cold. They're constricting. And whatever. It's a mess. It turned me bright red. I mean, I kept using it like an
idiot.
Because that's all they had. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, what quality do you most admire in others?
Integrity.
Oh, I like that. Okay. If there is one rule you wish everyone would follow, what would it be?
Get your skin examined and wear SPF 30 minimum.
I should have guessed.
I love that. If there were to be a movie made of your life, who would narrate it?
So I have to say my 12-year-old daughter, Sophia.
Oh my God, that's beautiful.
She has the most amazing personality. And if, especially this year, we got to spend so much quality time together. So you want someone who's an advocate and a fan, and we're mutual fans of each other.
Oh, that's beautiful. Lovely. I love that. That's beautiful. And then what is the most played song on your playlist right now?
So I would say, because we're trying to create a very soothing atmosphere, but we're all about, empowerment. And so the Barefoot Contessa, Cesaria Evora, and all of her music. So any of her, like the Spotify Cesaria Evora channel.
Okay. I love
that. Very soothing, but empowering.
Thank you.
This has been great. Thank you so much. And thanks for
this,
updating how we think about skin cancer.
Yeah, this is really important.
Really educational.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed the show.
It's your reviews and feedback that help us make the podcast even better. Head over to iTunes to rate and review us, or email your thoughts to info@fatmascara.com.
We also want to answer your beauty questions and hear what products you love. To share a Razor One product review or to ask a beauty question, email us at info@fatmascara.
If you send it as a voice memo file, we can even share your voice on the podcast. You can also do that by leaving us a voice message. Our phone number in the United States is 646-481-8182.
Thanks so much for listening.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.